Blog Talk Radio.
Hit me! How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
Let me see you. praise the Lord. There's no other God like our God. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done and that he is doing. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I want to welcome you to the Woman to Woman show on today. Today we have a special edition. This is the Woman to Woman, Man to Man show. So I'm excited about having Pastor Anthony Simmons, my wonderful husband, as my guest today, and he'll be sharing with the men today. So I am just honored that he would even agree to come and be with me for this 2 hours. I want you to get on the phone. I want you to go to Facebook and Twitter and begin to text someone to let them know that the Woman to Woman show is on the air. And today we're going to be talking to the men about love, relationships, marriage, life, even your relationship with the Lord. So we welcome you. We welcome Exit Babylon to the broadcast on today. God bless you, and welcome to everybody who's calling in on the phone lines. Everyone listening to the archives, we just welcome you to the Woman to Woman show. I'm going to be bringing my guest on very shortly. Actually, he is on his way to the studio, so he's here. He's already called in, but I want to give him some time to get settled, and then we'll be able to bring him in. While we're waiting for him to come on the air, I want to go ahead and read his bio, and I also want to make a couple of announcements. I want to invite you to come out to New Creation Christian Ministries. We're in Elizabeth, New Jersey at 87th First Street, and our service time is 11 o'clock a.m. We are the Kingdom Church in that area, because I know there are a lot of Kingdom churches. So in Elizabeth and here in this area, we are the Kingdom Church, and we invite you to come out and be a part of what God is doing at our location. We just thank God for the move of the Holy Spirit that's in our services every single time that we open the doors of the church. And we thank God for the word of God that's going forth. Pastor Anthony Simmons is the pastor, along with myself. We serve together as a married couple, and we are just blessed to be privileged to be shepherds in God's church. Amen. That God would trust us to do the work that he has called us to do. But it's an awesome place, a phenomenal place. And we invite you to come over and worship with us on any given Sunday. I'll be making announcements about some of the upcoming events that we'll be having. We're reaching out to the city of Elizabeth, New Jersey, and we want to invite everybody in Elizabeth to come over for our Friends, Family, and Neighbors Day, which is coming up real soon. I'll have the date next week, and we're looking forward to it. Amen. I also want to give my condolences to the Whitney Houston family and fans. Family and fans, because we know that we experienced a great loss on that last week with the passing of Whitney Houston. Her homegoing service was broadcast around the world, around the United States at least, and I know that it was broadcast and observed by many. So we know that that was a great loss for a lot of people. Amen. And this woman had a great voice and a great gift given to her by God. And I was saddened actually, to see her leave this earth. Amen. So I continue to pray for the family. I encourage you to continue to pray for the Whitney Houston family. Amen. Hallelujah. And I see your question in the chat room. We have a question in the chat room. Exit Babylon wants to know, what is a kingdom church? What is a kingdom church? That's basically God's church. We are Christians. Christ is our king. And a kingdom church is a church that has allocated itself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are proud to say that Christ is king in our church. We have allocated and delegated ourselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ, not just in the church, but in our hearts and in our lives. We are Christians called by his name, and I pray that that answers your question. We should all be kingdom churches. We should all be kingdom churches, the rule and the reign of God in the lives of his people through the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I also want to welcome Stan. God bless you. Welcome. Welcome, Stan. Good to see you. Welcome to Women Show, and welcome to our guest, 2161. I want to say hello to Kathy and Ray Jones. God bless you. And, again, welcome to Women Show. And my final announcement, just before I bring my guest in, I want to let you know that I have offered five books. I don't know, many people don't know that I'm an author because I don't talk about it that much, but the Lord has brought me a mighty long way. He's brought me through some trials, some tribulations, some hard times, and I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I have come from being downtrodden, I've come from being defeated to being victorious. I have had some times when I didn't think I had much worth or much value, but I have found that I am wonderfully and fearfully made and loved in the sight of God, and that I am somebody. So no matter what has happened to me, I can stand here today and say that I am more than a conqueror. And I want to just encourage you that no matter what has happened to you or where you are today, you are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Don't let your circumstances take you out of the game. Don't let your circumstances take you out of the game. It is not over. It's not over. You may have been molested, abused, abandoned, neglected, talked about, counted out. Whatever has happened in your life, I want you to know that it's not over, because God does have a wonderful plan for your life, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, a plan to give you a hope for your future. Yes, your future can be bright if you know and you receive the fact that you are somebody in Christ and that God still has a great plan for your life. God hasn't forgotten. That's a word for somebody out there. You might feel like God has forgotten, but God has not forgotten about what he has said pertaining to you and your life. Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. And as a result of everything that I've been through, the Lord has blessed me to have an empowerment ministry, which this radio broadcast is a part of my empowerment ministries. But I also have written some books, five books, Nobody's Business is a novel about a woman who helps other women, but she has issues of her own, and she has to come face-to-face with her own issues one day. It's a very powerful novel, and you would love it. So I encourage you, if you haven't read it, to get a copy. You can get a copy from Amazon.com or my website, which I will give you in a few minutes after I tell you about the rest of the book. My second book is The Cry of a Woman's Heart. The cry of a woman's heart, and the subtitle on that book is Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. And that's a book where I deal with issues like molestation, low self-esteem, addiction, wrong relationships, things of that nature, and even your spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. I challenge you in your walk with God. Because we should all be walking to the glory of God. And I challenge you that as you line up your life with God's will, everything else will fall into place. So I encourage you to get a copy of The Cry of a Woman's Heart. And then I wrote Daddy Love, which is not in print. It's about a beautiful black woman who can have any man that she wants. But the only man that she wants is totally wrong for her. So that book is not in print right now. I'll let you know when it comes back out. Pump Up the Power was my fourth book, Get the Life You Want. It's 43 Principles for Success. And my last book that I recently released about a year ago is Don't Die in the Wilderness. So I encourage you to go to my website at nccmonline.org. to pick up a copy of any one of my books. And there are a couple of videos there, too, of me and Pastor Anthony preaching. They're old, but the word is still good. So I encourage you to go on over and check out our website at www.nccmonline.org. Amen. Amen. And praise God. So that covers it for the announcements. I'm ready. Are you ready for our guests? Are you ready for our guests? Look, get on the phone. Tell the men in your life and the women, because, look, Pastor Anthony's going to be speaking to the men, but the women, we need to hear this. We need to hear what the brothers are going to be talking about on today. So go on Facebook, text somebody, tweet somebody, call somebody, and let them know that Pastor Rebecca Simmons is on the air and that her guest today is Pastor Anthony Simmons, and he's going to be talking to the men about love, life, relationships, Christianity, everything that the Lord put on his heart. He's going to be pouring out to the brothers on today. And at the end of the broadcast, we, the men and the women, are going to be able to talk to Pastor Anthony Simmons about what he's been talking to the brothers about. So women, keep your ears inclined to hear what the man that God is going to be saying, because listen, you too will get an opportunity to talk to my guest today at the end of today's broadcast. So without any further delay, I'm going to read my husband's bio. Pastor Anthony Simmons is my guest today, and I'm going to go ahead and read his bio. Pastor Anthony Simmons is a man after God's heart. He is committed to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated Word of God. Pastor Simmons was born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. After graduating at the top of his class, he attended Fairleigh Dickerson University, where he majored in engineering. He also attended University of Phoenix with a major in business. He became a born-again Christian in 1993 and received the call to preach the gospel shortly thereafter. Not wanting to be too quick to accept the call, he waited to be sure that he was hearing from the Lord and accepted the call to preach in 2002 and became an ordained minister in the year 2005 after much training at the cathedral. In 2006, he became the founder of New Creation Christian Ministries, a church that is built on the Word of God, prayer, and the love of Jesus Christ. Pastor Anthony Simmons is married to yours truly, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. He is the father of four children. He is a man of integrity, character, and faith. He is a powerful man of God and a phenomenal leader in his family, church, and community. He trusts God for every step that he takes, knowing that in the end, God will get the glory. So I want you all to help me as I welcome our guest on today, my husband, my pastor, my friend, Pastor Anthony Simmons. Hey, honey, God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast today.
Amen. God bless you. It's an awesome time to be with you today. I thank you for this opportunity to speak to men, to speak to sons, to talk man to man with the men of God that are assembled to listen to what the Lord has to say. So I just thank God for you and that wonderful introduction and this opportunity to minister to God's people.
Amen, amen. So I'm just so glad that you were able to take the time out to be with me on today. God is good and worthy to be praised. I know you got up this morning and went to work and just now making it to the studio in time for you to be on this show, which I have delegated for you. So many men listen to the Women to Women show, and a lot of women that listen to the Women to Women show have requested that we have a man's point of view. So today I'm just honored for the first time to be able to have you to speak directly to the men. So I'm going to move out of the way if you're ready, and I'll just have you begin to pour out and to speak to the brothers. It's not an interview. This is you talking to the brothers man to man. And then after you're done, we'll talk some more. You and I will talk, and then we'll open up the switchboard for some of the people that are listening. We have a full chat. The chat room is filling up, and the switchboards are filling up, so we are having people come in to listen. And then after you're done we'll open up the phone line and begin to communicate with the people to see how we could bring the woman to woman and the man to man together. Let's see how we could bring it all together today.
Amen. If I can open in prayer, we'll get right into this because it's on my heart. Father, in your son Jesus' name, we thank you for men. We thank you for sons. We thank you for fathers and husbands, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus right now that you are raising us up in this hour. Father God, break every yoke and destroy, hallelujah, every bondage that the enemy has tried to set against men. I thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that men are freed up to be husbands and men are freed up to be successful in every endeavor in life. Men are freed up right now in their hearts and their minds to do the will of the Lord in this hour. Lord, I thank you, hallelujah, for pastors and entrepreneurs and men of God all over, Lord, called to different assignments and different purposes according to your will. Now, Father God, use me as your manservant to minister to men. I thank God for men. And, Lord, we thank you for sons and fathers all over this land that they are looking to you, the author and finisher of their help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Coming
to the book of Judges. After Moses died, God raises up Joshua and says, my servant Moses is dead. Take these people into the promised land. Joshua, if you read the book of Joshua, did his part by bringing the people into the land of Canaan, proportionately distributing the land and doing his divine assignment that God had given him to bring the people into the promised land. Then we get to the book of Judges where the people have received the promise, and God raises up leaders to lead the people. But although they received the promise, like so many of us today, we get to a place in life where God has ordained and set us to be up in, yet we forget how we got there. We forget that God brought us there and that only God could keep us there. And we see that the people acted up time and time again through disobedience. And the Bible says that God raised up judges, Deborah and Samson. And just look very briefly with me at the life of Gideon, who was a judge, a form of a deliverer. I'm led to go here because I'm talking to men, and God has placed a mandate on men in this hour. Oftentimes when we marry people, I try to, or do a baby dedication, I charge the men to do certain things. And I instruct them that God requires a lot from men. And as we see, Judges, the 6th chapter, beginning at that 12th verse, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And as I can just stop there, many times people, including myself so many years ago, did not know who I was. I did not know who I was in God. I did not know who I was outside of God. I grew up in a single-parent household without a father. My friends had great influence on my thought process, the kind of men that I saw in our neighborhood, just observing and watching them, how they treated their women, how they treated their children, how they got through in life. I learned a lot by being involved with certain crowds and ran with certain crowds in my younger years. I have 4 older brothers, so I learned a lot from them and watching and observing their lives. I also had mentors and school teachers and other men that has influenced my life at an early age outside of Christ. And even with that, I made a great deal of mistakes in my earlier years. This is my 2nd and final marriage, but in my 1st marriage, I was not saved, and that marriage ended in divorce. In my 1st marriage, I did a lot of things that were ungodly and that I had to repent about and for when I came into the things of God. But right here at the outset, God tells Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver the Israelites from the Amalekites and those who are coming against the children of Israel. And Gideon's response was that, not only is my clan and my family the smallest out of our tribe, but I am the least in my family. And God still tells Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. And right at the outset, I just want to speak to men and tell them that they are mighty men of God. It wasn't until I set up under a spiritual father that I began to identify with positive things about myself, or successful things about myself, or trying to begin to live according to God's plan for my life. God never raised men and never saw men to be drug dealers. God never raised men and allowed men to come out of their mother's womb to just be players and dogs. God never raised up men to be to the place where they don't want to work or take care of their children. That has never been the plan of God for men. Now, the plan of the enemy is to destroy our manhood. The plan of the enemy is to confuse so many men about their sexuality. The plan of the devil is to remove men from their homes because he realized that a house divided cannot stand. But I remember God calling me into the pastorate, and he told me that one of my functions and one of my assignments would be to restore families, starting with mine first. So although I made a lot of mistakes outside of God, when I came into the things of God, there was a lot of things that I had to learn and a lot of things that I had to unlearn. But it all began right here with me identifying myself with being a man of God, with being a strong man, not being a weak man, with being having a lot of potential in God and a lot of possibility in God, although I made a lot of errors. And brothers, I just want to tell you, you may be like me, and you may have made a lot of mistakes over the years in your life. You may have been divorced like I've been divorced. You may have played and messed over women like I've done in my earlier years. You may have not taken care of your children in the right way like I've done in my earlier years. But we who are in the kingdom right now, that's why you must become a man of faith if you're not a man of faith. We who are in the kingdom right now, who are born again, bought believers by the blood of Jesus Christ, God gives us the ability to repent, to turn, and then reclaim and renew the things that the devil has stolen away from us. He tells us to repent. Sometimes we got to go to our children and say, I messed up. I made a lot of mistakes. I'm sorry for not being there for you. We got to go to our wives and say, if I'd have known better, I would have done better. We got to sometimes go back to our families and repent of some of the things we did over the years. And then once we repent, it's more than making an apology or saying, I'm sorry. Now we got to turn and begin to go in the direction that God ordained for us to go in the first place. That's why it's so powerful being a man of God. It's such a powerful thing being a Christian. You have such an advantage over the ungodly just simply because of forgiveness and this word repentance. Because unless we repent and turn and begin to reclaim and renew our commitment to God, our families can't be restored. We cannot fulfill our divine assignment that God has given us before we were brought out of our mother's womb. And we cannot line up with the will of God that he ordained for our lives before the creation of the world. So it starts with repentance. And so many men, Pastor Rebecca, into our audience, we have sometimes trouble in this area. I know for myself, I used to be a very prideful and stubborn person. Not too many people could tell me anything. But when the Holy Ghost, glory, I feel God. Mm. When the Holy Ghost got a hold of me and the Holy Spirit got a hold of my life, then God began to work on me. He began to work on my anger. He began to work on my unforgiveness. He began to work on my self-esteem. He began to work on my intellect and my manhood. He began to work on my spirituality. And just like me, many men are on that potter's wheel. Just like I was over 18 years ago, some of you right now are right at the verge of a mighty breakthrough in your life. Because some of you are finally, for the first time, and that's why you're tuned into a show like this, are serious about saying, yes, Lord, I want to do it your way, God. God, now I've made so many errors and so many mistakes, I want to come over to the light. I want to stop doing things according to my own will and my own strength. Now, God, I realize that I need your help to be a successful husband. I need your help to be a successful entrepreneur and to take care of my family. I need you, God, to teach me about spirituality and how I can get a right relationship with God the Father. God, I need you right now to give me answers on how I can be with my wife in the right way and be a better father and be a better man and become a better leader. So many men are right there at the verge of really saying, I mean in a real kind of way, yes, Lord. And that's where it begins. Because he gave Gideon a choice. Gideon still could have said, even though I'm the least in my clan, I'm the least in my family, I'm not adequate, I'm not equipped, I'm not ready, God, to do what you're calling me to do. You see it in me, but I don't see it in myself. And no way can I live up or stand up to this task. But yet, if you keep reading, Gideon's answer was, yes, Lord. And that's all God is saying to the men of God today. Will you try? Will you give me a yes, Lord? Will you give up your will and deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ today? And God is reaching out to sons and fathers and men and uncles and nephews and grandfathers and single men. He's talking to you today. He's talking to your heart today. In the book of Malachi, I just preached a sermon on Friday at a visiting church. And one of the things that blessed me in that message, God led me to the Old Testament book of Malachi. And at the end of the Old Testament, it's so powerful how God ended that scripture. He said, in that day, I will turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the hearts of the children back to their fathers, lest I strike the earth with a curse. And that is so powerful as we see so many men who are incarcerated. That looks to me like a curse. We see so many young men who have a great deal of potential, but yet they cannot finish high school. We see so many men who made a mistake and went to prison, who are now ex-cons and who are now on probation or parole, but yet they're repeat offenders because fathers have been missing, because fathers have not given our young men an example to look up to, because men and fathers and males have not been mentors or big brothers to guide them in a right direction. So God is now saying, will you let me, starting with you, like Michael Jackson said, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Glory be to God. Mm-hmm. Will you be that one man to stand up for God today? Will you be that one husband, contrary to popular belief? Because, you know, as my wife just said, I had to work today. I work with a lot of men. I'll celebrate 25 years of employment and being fully vested and have a full pension eligibility in about a month from now, and God has kept me on that job. I can get my kids' eyeglasses and get their teeth fixed and pay my mortgage and pay the car note and keep a little oil so we can have some heat, put food on the table, keep a roof over our head, and God has done that for me, keeping a steady flow of income coming through my hand for the last 25 years, and nobody but God did it. I said, nobody but God did it.
Yeah.
I need to say it again. Nobody but God did it. Because, Pastor Rebecca, I remember in those early years, I did many things to be terminated from that job. I did a lot of foolish things where that company could have terminated me on so many different occasions. But God gave me grace. Hallelujah. God showed me mercy. Hallelujah. When I was in a courtroom, ready to have my license revoked and suspended, praying before the judge saw my case, praying to God that I was not serving. Lord, I need this job. I need this license. Give me a second chance. And I walked away with my license being restored. I walked away with God having grace and mercy on me. And that's what God is saying to men today. I've given you grace. I've given you mercy. I've given some of you a second, third, and fourth chance. Now I'm requiring and asking something of you. I want you to be a better husband. I want you to become that man of God that I know you can become. I want you to become that strong man who can say no to your flesh and no to that lustful spirit that keeps tripping you up. I want you to repent and apologize and make some wrongs right in your life. And God can do it, just like he did it with Gideon. God can use you in a mighty way. So he goes on in that 13th verse. I'm going somewhere, but I like to use the word of God to make my points because I'm a very opinionated person, but there's nothing like the word of God which will not come back void. I've learned in my own life through my marriage and through becoming a better son and a better man to God that the word of God works every time. The word of God will not come back void. The word of God will accomplish what God has sent it to do. But look at me. Look with me to, we're still in Judges, chapter 6, verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my God, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?
Wow.
And that's just a powerful scripture. Because you can go to church and not be spiritual. You can be in church for a long time and not be spiritual. You can be around the things of God for a long time and not create a spirit of discernment. But let me just shed some light on your situation today. Could it be that you're in intense warfare in this hour in your life? Like Gideon said, Lord, if you're with me, why is all this warfare? Why is all this hell? Why is so much coming against me? Why did I have to lose my job? Why is my house in foreclosure? Why did I get a bad doctor's report? Why is my marriage going through? Why are my kids wayward and disobedient and acting crazy? Why, Lord, can I get myself together and put down this drinking and drugging and women? Why is there so much warfare in my life? And Gideon asked God the question, if you're with me, why is so much going wrong in my life? And I'm here to tell you that the warfare is so intense because the devil knows that God has an awesome plan for your life.
Mm.
The devil knows, like Peter, that you're the devil's trying to, like Peter, sift you as wheat, man of God. Sift you as wheat, young man. He's trying to get you, young man, to create that offense. Because if you do it, there goes your future. If you do it, it's going to be so hard for you to get out of the trouble that was so easy to get into. If you do it, you're going to keep making babies all over the place that you can't take care of. But Gideon, like you, like me, realized that if God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm here to tell you that God is with you, man of God, and the warfare that you're dealing with today, God is able to deal with even that. He'll give you another job. He'll turn that marriage around. He'll make you be the father and show you through divine wisdom how you can win in every given situation. He'll give you strength when you feel weak. He'll make you open up your mind and your heart to the things of God, and you'll gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in every area of life. God is willing. He's standing at the door of your heart right now, and he's knocking. He's asking you, can he come in? Can you move the pride out of the way? Can you move that false manhood out of the way? Can you move that stubbornness out of the way? Can you move that anger and that hatred out of the way? And that's what God is saying to us today, that I'm with you. just like I was with Gideon, just like I was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just like I was with David and Joshua and Gideon, I was with my 12 disciples, and I'm with you today. If you are a Christian, God is with you. If any man or a woman be in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. The old has gone away, glory be to God, and the new has come. And God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm just here to tell you, when you're trying to get yourself together, you're trying to become that better husband and that better father and that better man of God, you're not doing it alone. And Gideon goes on to say, God, if you're with me, show me some tests. And he do some tests with some mold and some mildew and the wet mat and the wet floor. And God shows him that he's with him. And I'm here to tell you today, challenge God. Pray to God and say, Lord, if you're with me, send me a sign. God, if you're with me, make it personal. If you're with me, show me a divine sign from your hand to let me know that you're with me. And in those earlier years, I cannot tell you how many times God has been with me. Because on Tuesday nights, I remember working with my fellas and working with my homeboys, and Tuesday night used to be our go-go bar night. Tuesday night was our hangout night. Tuesday night was the night we got into a lot of mischief and trouble. And then when I got into the things of God and I got into church, we had this thing called man-to-man Bible study on Tuesday night. So early on in my Christian life, I had a choice. I was still being pulled to go hang out with the fellas, to go on over to the booty bar, to go on over and do the things that got me into a lot of trouble, or I can try to do something different and differently by going down to this church by myself, sitting up under a man of God that was teaching us. Can I say candidly, by the way, he was really making it not so spiritual or religious, but it was straight talk. And I needed that. I need somebody not to throw a lot of Bible or words at me that I did not understand, but tell me why I'm nasty. Tell me why I'm so angry. To tell me why I can't get along with my wife. To tell me why I'm so deceptive and I'm so ungodly. Please just make it plain to me why I've been pushing the ones that I love away. Why the children that I love hate my guts. Please somebody just make it plain for me, because I don't like the results that I'm coming up with. And just like my wife got this woman-to-woman show, they talk to us men man-to-man, whether it was a retreat or man-to-man Bible study. And for the first time in my life, I saw FBI agents, high school principals, entrepreneurs, police officers. I saw men who were successful and men struggling with addiction breaking down from that posture of anger and just becoming transparent and real and saying, my father was never there for me. My father lied to me. I saw my father put his hands on my precious mother. I never forgave my father because he violated me. And it was so many things that I saw in my early Christian walk. And then God began to remove the scales off of my own eyes. Son, you've been carrying anger for 30 years because you're mad at your father. You saw so much hell in your young life and your household. You saw so many of your older siblings go contrary to the things of God because there was not a man in the house to keep us in order. You saw a mother working 3 jobs sometimes just trying to keep food on the table and her kids out of the streets. So I saw all this growing up, and it developed an anger in me that I didn't know how to process. And then I began to displace that anger on the ones that I love. And I know I'm talking to somebody today. I know the Holy Spirit is convicting and speaking to somebody today. I know your situation might not be mine, but it's very similar, trust me, to some of the things that I've experienced. And God is speaking to you today, that seek me while I may be found. Call on me while I am near. You can turn all this negativity around in your life today as you're listening to this man of God, as you're hearing some of his testimony. You can turn your situation around and begin to get some blessings coming your way. Begin to get some breakthroughs in your life. Begin to allow the supernatural and miracle-working God to minister to those hurting areas in your life, to allow you to lay down the sin and the weight that's so easily besetting you. So that was my story over 18 years ago when I got saved. I had so much anger, and that was a real stronghold in my family. I still got a lot of family members that would hurt you and didn't mind or don't mind you hurting them back. I got a lot of family members that still operate in a spirit of anger. And glory, I feel God. I'm so glad God delivered me from anger. Mm. I'm so glad God delivered me from cocaine and marijuana and drinking. I'm so glad for the last 15 to 17 years God allowed me to be with just one woman. Glory be to God. I'm so glad that God has done such a mighty work in my life. And I can testify, if it had not been for the Lord who's been on my side, where would I be? I could not do this by myself. And God is talking to you, man of God. God is talking to you, son, today. And just like God was talking to Gideon, God is saying to you, I want to be with you through the storm, through the fire, through the flood, if you allow me to be with you. And Pastor Rebecca, and to our audience, I just want to say, pray for your men. I know this is my story, but it's just not a coincidence that so many men are out of position. It's spiritual in nature. It's not a coincidence that so many brothers can't get it together. There's so much to why so many men are not in church. There's something supernaturally, spiritually demonic why so many men are not serving God. And I'm here to tell you today that if we put down the facades, if we put down wearing the mask, we always hear women talk about it. But women identify with that, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, just like I want the men today to identify with, I'm a mighty man of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do that, you can be like David. How many times did David mess up? My God. How many times did David err from the things of God? But the Bible still says, Pastor Rebecca, and to our audience, David was a man after God's own heart. And that blows me away. He was with Bathsheba and killed her husband, Uriah, and set it up for him to die just to have his woman. God told him, you could have had any woman in your kingdom. And this one man with his one wife fighting for you and your army, you go ahead and overstep your boundaries and take the only little happiness I gave to him. And then David messed up again and again and again. But the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart because David knew about this word called repentance. And sometimes it was hard for me to talk to my older son. Right now we're just reconciling some hurts that I've put to him over the years. Some things I did in his early childhood, I was not there for him. I was partying. I was hanging out. I was totally ignoring him and doing my own thing. And he'll be 25 years old next month, 25 years old next month, and then we have another one that'll be 20. I'm talking about my sons. And with my older son, we finally got to the place where we're now having a father-son real relationship. And it took a long time to get here. But I had a man-to-man with him one day and said, son, I'm sorry. I was not there. I messed up here. I was wrong there. And I erred here. And I talked to him, man-to-man, straight up. And he may not have forgiven me in that moment, but the fact that we're reaching out to one another right now in this season shows me that God can do what we can't do. And that's all God is saying to some father today. Go ahead and try to make it right with your children. I just talked to a brother the other day. He said, I spent 3 days in jail for lack of paying child support. He said, yeah, they locked me up for 3 days because I'm not paying my child support. I got to start paying my child support. And I said, yeah, man, you got to start doing that. Take care of your children. And our bishop, Donald Hilliard Jr., in my early church used to say, take care of your kids in wedlock and out of wedlock. He used to teach us, if you can save a man, you can save a family. Because I believe if a man going to church, Pastor Rebecca, everybody in the house going to church. You don't have to wake them up more than once. It's just something about that bass and that Adam apple that God gave men with that authority. They can put that bass in their voice. Everybody get up. The dog, the cat, the fish, everybody going to church. And when you save a man, you can save an entire family. And if you save a family, we can start recapturing some of our neighborhoods. So, man of God, give your life over to God. Let God save you for real, for real. Let God really transform you by the renewing of your mind. I had to learn so many things, and I had to unlearn so many things. Again, I grew up, me and my boy was influencing one another, just getting into mess. Me and my crew, we just let each other into trouble. And then when I got to the things of God, I tried to get around men that I respected and looked up to teach me what I didn't know, because I didn't have a father to show me the ropes. I never forget, I had an older gentleman teach me some plumbing. I had some plumbing problems here at my house, and he told me some of the tools I got to go to Home Depot and Lowe's to buy, and then he showed me some little things around the house that I need to start doing and that I can fix without calling a contractor. And as he taught me these things and I learned them, and that night I was reflecting, I almost got a little teary-eyed because I said, God, I talked to God, I said, God, I should have had a father to show me this stuff. It shouldn't have taken me 20, 30 years of age just to learn how to change a washer on a faucet or to learn how to change a flat tire or tie a necktie. It shouldn't have took me all this time for somebody to tell me real manhood is learning how to self-control yourself. But better late than never, fellas. Better late than never. So you're listening today. Maybe you're sitting there with your wife. Maybe you're there listening today because my wife put it out there. I'm talking man to man with the gentlemen and the fellas. Maybe you just tuned in by mistake, and it's something this man just talking about. He just keep rambling on. But he act like he know what he's talking about a little bit. And maybe God is, regardless of what I'm saying, God is saying something totally different to you. Because I believe that it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. So not necessarily what I'm saying in my articulation or through my own words, but I know it's the anointing that I'm operating in right now that's destroying yoke. I know that it's the power of God that can change your situation. I know that if you're in the need of a miracle, a financial miracle, a spiritual miracle, a supernatural healing miracle, you need to be delivered from drinking, drugs, or women, I know that God is able. So I'm not just talking rhetoric. I'm not just talking something I don't know. I'm trying to introduce you to a God that is able to do the impossible. And Gideon saw that. Gideon saw God do the impossible. Pastor Beck, I don't know how much time I have, but I want to, if I can, speak directly to husbands just for a brief moment.
Amen. Go ahead, Pastor.
Is that all right?
That's all right.
Amen. I'm turning to my Bible. I'm trying to get to the scripture because there's so much that God says to husbands and to wives, but we're talking primarily to men today. I know the Bible said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. The Bible says, if you love your wife, you'll love yourself. So I try to listen to what the Word tells me to do. So over the last 15 years, we'll celebrate 16 years of marriage. Glory be to God. We'll celebrate 16 years of marriage this July. I try to allow the Word of God to reign in my life. And the Bible instructs me that I was supposed to love my wife like I love myself. And I tried to do that. I never used to like to hold hands. I never sent a woman flowers or held doors for women. I never was a hugger or a man that was affectionate or mushy or saying love little trinkets to my wife. But I had to learn the love language that she knew. If she wanted flowers and roses sent to her job, I did it, although I didn't understand it. And every year my wife got roses on Valentine's Day. If she wanted me to hold the door or pull out a chair or hold her hands going through the mall, I didn't like doing it. I wasn't used to doing it. It was very uncomfortable for me in the beginning. But if that's what she wanted from me, if that's what's going to make my marriage work and last, I'm going to give her what she wants. I didn't know about being affectionate, giving my young teenage daughter attention and affirming her at an early age. But my 13-year-old now has self-esteem, loves her father. I just gave her Valentine candy along with my wife on Valentine's Day, and I'm trying to raise her up to feel good about herself so that some knucklehead cannot get her in the bed prematurely, or some knucklehead cannot get her knocked up prematurely, or some knucklehead cannot give her the life that God does not want her to have. So I'm going to try to show her at an early age, this is how a man should treat you with respect. This is how a man should tell you that you're pretty and that you're valuable and that you matter and that you're intelligent. A man should show you as a weaker vessel that you're valuable and he's going to treat you precious. So I try to do that with my wife. I try to do that with my daughters. And the Bible says, love your wives as you love yourself. But before that, Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That is so powerful. I'm talking to husbands just for a minute. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes that two are better than one, because if the one shall fall, the other one got their back. When two lie down together, there is heat. It says two are better than one because there's a threefold cord, meaning you husband, meaning you wife, meaning the Holy Ghost. With you three, you cannot lose. That's that threefold cord that they're talking about. And no weapon formed against that union will be able to prosper. That's why God hates divorce, because he's saying you staying together with your wife is the way I intended it to be. He says, I've given you a decree of divorce because of the hardness of your heart. But I'm here to tell you that it's so much better to stay with your wife and to be with your wife than to be apart from her. And the only way that's going to last and the only way that's going to happen is if you submit one to another. I'm talking to you, brother. I'm talking to you, husband. You're going to have to adapt. That's what the word covenant means. It means that there's an agreement. When you gave those wedding vows, that was an agreement. You signed on a dotted line, I'm going to keep these promises. I'm going to keep my covenant of love to this woman, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness or in health, until death do us part. That was a mutual contract. Same thing on her part. But Pastor, you don't know. Man of God, you don't know. She all up in my face. She put her hands on me. Brother, she might have issues, but she can't hurt you. She might put her hands on you, but she can't hurt you. And women, if you're listening, and if that is you, please get up out of his face, and please don't put your hands on him. Because men do not like to be challenged in the area of manhood. Men need respect. Men need sex. But they do not need to be emasculated in this area of manhood. Don't call him out of his face. Don't call him a punk or weak. Don't call him a no good man. Because now you're challenging his manhood, and that's when you're going to see an ugly part of any man. Because we don't like our manhood challenged. And I'm just telling you, if you want your marriage to last, if you want your family to work, encourage him, believe in him, edify him, trust in him by edifying, exhorting, and encouraging him in the right way in the things of God. But don't degrade your man. Don't belittle your man. Don't talk down to your man, because all of that makes him either rebel or go into a closet and become this weak, wimpy man that is really good for nothing. So husbands, submit to your wife. Adapt to her program. I never forget early, I'm a big Oakland Raider fan, big football fan, still am. But I remember it was a playoff game, and I told my wife we was going to do some things, going shopping or something. And I remember turning off that Raider playoff game, going with my wife, and I couldn't believe I did that. I turned off the football game, fellas, and put my wife first. And it just destroyed me to pull away from that football game. And right now she understands that I need that as a pastor, as a working man, as a father. Sometimes I need 3-6 hours of football or the NBA or just watching a sport program, because that's my out. I'm not going to the bar anymore. I'm not using the drugs anymore. I'm not chasing women anymore. But give me the football game. And that's what I'm telling you, women. Sometimes if he's a homebody, if he got the remote control, buy him some peanuts and some juice. Let him watch that game and go find something to do with your girlfriend or whatever. But get that man out. Give him some room sometimes. Give that man a little space sometimes, because we need that. It's not that he's ignoring you. It's not that he doesn't love you. But men process and operate differently. So sometimes we're just not in that mood to hug and cuddle up. We want the game. We want to see them get physical. We want to root. We don't want to think. We just want to watch the game and not have any pressure in that particular moment. And sometimes men need that. But, brothers, sometimes we got to adapt to our families and adapt to our wives and adapt to the situation at hand. And sometimes we just don't want to do that. I don't know if it's pride, if it's stubbornness, if we're just stuck in our ways, and God wants to change all of that. Because I, for one, I like peace. And as our family tried to blend in those early years, me and my wife had it to the place where she wanted to put me out. And that means those arguments were heated. That means sometimes we were more than agreeing to disagree. It got a little hot. But one thing I never did and one thing she never did was left the house. Because in those early years, I knew where I could have went, and I knew who I could have probably went to. And God was like, no, you're doing something different and differently. And I just thank God that in those years when I wanted to act in the flesh, he kept me. When my manhood was sometimes being challenged, God kept me. When I wanted to act in anger instead of through the Holy Spirit, God kept me. And I'm so glad that now that there are godly characteristics that I've developed over the years, I saw what God was trying to do almost 18 years ago. And he's just trying to do that to you today, starting with you today. Starting with the man in the mirror, God wants your marriage to work. He does not want your marriage to end up in divorce court like so many. God wants your children to respect you, and when they bury you and throw the dirt on you, he wants them to weep at your funeral. He wants them to honor your funeral. He wants them to say, I had a good father, a good husband, a good man that showed me what love is. So, husband, it's not easy. That spirit of Delilah, just like in Samson's days, that seducing, enticing spirit is out there trying to pull you away from your family. Just like that Jezebel spirit. King Ahab was a man of God. King Ahab knew God. But Jezebel took him away from the God that he knew. That Jezebel took him away from the God that he knew he should have served, but he became disobedient to God as a leader of God's people. And that Jezebel spirit, that's why the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. Oh, God, if I can just stay there for a minute. 36, 24, 36. She might be a brick house. But if she's not a Christian, if she's not a woman of God, trust me, it probably won't have a happy ending if you're a man of God and she's not a Christian. I'll never forget my wife. I was already saved about a year, and I took her to the church that I was going to, and I think we dated for about a year, and I proposed. But I don't think that ever would have happened if she never would have said, yes, Lord. Because I, even in that first year, I became, I don't know what happened, but I began to get serious about the things of God. Because some things happened in my life that really was traumatic for me. And God finally got my attention. And I don't want that to be your testimony. I don't want that to be how God get your attention. It took God taking my first daughter home to be with him. It took me being crushed and depressed for over a year, chronically, clinically, deep depression for over an entire year of my life, just being numb. It took God to break me down to nothing, sleeping on my mother's floor, not having a place of my own. It took God breaking me down where all I can do is get up. And I don't want that to be your testimony. If you're standing and God is telling you to turn and repent and begin to go in another direction, allow God to do that. But the reason I'm so serious about God, the reason I'm so connected to the things of God, the reason that I don't have time to follow the crowd anymore, I did the fraternity thing, I did the brotherhood thing, I did the step shows, I did the clubbing, I did the partying, I did the little short stays at hotels, I did everything that's out there I was big and bad enough to do. I done been in the back of cop cars, I done been booked, I done had the handcuffs on me, I done did a lot of things that I'm not proud of. But when I got to the things of God, I repented, I put down so many things, and I began to move in the direction that God wanted me to go into. And that's the only reason God called me to pastor, is because I don't mind being naked and not ashamed. I don't mind putting my life on display before the people of God to keep them out of the pit of hell. I don't mind sharing my testimony, sharing my story, if it's going to help you, brother. So God is speaking today. I thank God for my wife who just wanted me to come to talk to men, share some things that God has done with me and to me and through me, share how God can restore. My daughter right now, every time I lay eyes on her, she'll be 14 years old this June. And I say, God, I thank you. I never forget she was born. Me and my wife were talking about this the other day. And I began to praise God in that delivery room unashamedly before her doctor. And I praise God in front of the nurses. I praise God in front of the doctor. I praise God in front of the staff because God had given me another baby girl.
Amen.
And I knew at that time there was more important things than money. More important things than having a big old successful church. There was more important things than having all these degrees. And all this stuff is important. If you got the degree, you got the money, you got the success, all of that is valuable and important because you must make a way to provide for your family, to be the protector of your family, to be the priest of your family. But nothing's more important than family. It's God. Let me just tell you the priority. God first, family second, everything else third. God comes first in my life. He tells me to be good to my family, my wife, my children, my household. That's second. That's my main priority. God gave man the family before he gave us ministry. And it grieves me how many mega churches, how many small churches, how many people who are called to the ministry but lose their families, lose their wives, lose their children for the sake of ministry, and God is not pleased with that. He wants you to make your family a priority. Then comes the church. Then comes your career that you're going after. Then come your dreams and your hopes and your vision. All that is after God and the family. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Amen. Wow, Pastor Anthony, you have really, really blessed the men and the women today. Thank you for all that you've said today. I do want to open up the phone lines and give people an opportunity to speak with you. But Pastor Larry was here, and he was in the chat room. I believe he had to leave for a ministry assignment, but he was so blessed, and he was just agreeing with so much that you were saying, especially when you came to the part about showing your little girl the love that she needed and validating your daughters and also calling your children as God calls them. So, you know, just powerful. You have shared some powerful information with the men. I thank God for all the men that are here and the men that have called in, the men who are in the chat room. And we got stuck. I got stuck because you talked about when I wanted to kick you out. I wanted to kick you out, and I was telling you to leave and how you never left the house. And you said you knew where you could win and who you could have went to. And I wrote to who in the chat room. I want to know who. Fifteen years later, I want to know who you could have went to. And then Know Your Enemy was messing with me in the chat room and asking me, was I getting upset? Pastor Becky, are you getting upset? Are you getting upset, Pastor Becky? But, you know, I was laughing with them in the chat room saying, I want to know who you could have went to. And, you know, God is good because all of that is irrelevant really right now. We'll talk later, though. But that was just such a blessing, everything that you were saying. Minister Valerie Allen is with us. God bless you. Evangelist Cynthia Robinson has stopped in. And Know Your Enemies in the chat room. And Stan has been with us the whole time. We've had a hand raised the whole time. I don't know if this person meant to have their hand raised or if their hand just happens to be raised. So I'm going to put this caller on the air and see if they wanted to talk to you. And also for all of our listeners, you could call in now. The number is 646-652-4832. Again, 646-652-4832. And you can talk to Pastor Anthony. Men, come on and call in and let us know what's on your heart. And if you're already on the switchboard, as so many of you are, the switchboard is lit up, and you want to be on the air, just press 1, and we'll put you on the air so that you can talk to Pastor Anthony. But I have a 409 area code that has their hand raised, and I want to put this person on the air because they had their hand up. It looks like their hand is not up anymore, but let me see. Yeah, 409. They have their hand up. Amen. Area code 409, you're on the air. Welcome to the Women to Women, Man to Man show on today.
Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Sugar calling from Texas City, Texas, Scar-Free Ministries, a ministry of healing and restoration. Praise God for you, Pastor Anthony, for stepping out, stepping up, and taking the healing to the men. Because we know if our men are healed, our families will be healed, our church will be strong, our communities will be strong, our government will be strong. Yes, step out like you're doing and continue to heal the men so we will be strong as women as well. God bless you. I am so excited about what you're doing. I'll really be excited when you get that book out and let us know when we can order it that you're working on. Praise God. And here in Texas, we need more men to step out and teach and help and share because there's so much brokenness. Men, they're broken. And it's all right to be broken when you know who can fix you. And only God and God alone. You're only as sick as your secrets. And once you become transparent to everything that has happened to you in your life, will you then be able to heal and become the mighty men that we women need in our lives? Amen?
My.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I thank her for those remarks, and she's absolutely right. When you turn around a man, when you get men back into their rightful position of protectors and being leaders, when you get men back to work and you get men becoming the breadwinners and you get men starting to lead again, your families will become restored. Your communities will get better. Even things like the economy, things will start to turn around. When men take their rightful place, she's absolutely right. God has ordained men to be leaders.
Wow.
You know, in our age, in our era, thank God for women's liberation. Thank God for women having equal pay and women being CEOs and even running for president, as we've seen with our Hillary Clinton. I thank God that the playing field is evened out. But most women don't want to wear the pants. They want to be feminine. They want a man to be able to lift them up or a shoulder to be able to cry on. They want to be emotional and have the men be strong in their lives. So in some areas, women do not want to lead. They don't want to get up under a car and get all greasy and oily and change in transmission and flat tires. So in some areas, they want the man to bring in the groceries. They want the man to be strong. They want the man, if they hear a noise at the door, can you go answer that? They want the man, if somebody or tries to come and violate a member of the family, to feel protected and covered.
Yeah.
So she is absolutely right. A lot of young men are acting out against one another because that anger is displaced. And I'm here to tell the men, maybe you joined the gang. Maybe you have had a strike against you. Maybe you have not been there for your children. Don't allow the enemy to keep you in bondage going down that wrong path, because you don't want to go back in prison. You don't want to go back to jail. And you know, the devil would say, well, you know, I got this against me. Nobody wants to hire me. And trust me, I've heard powerful testimonies of people who have totally turned their lives around, and they have made major mistakes. I said, with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And it might be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You don't understand, man. She won't let me see my kids. She making it hard for me, man. You don't understand. She making it hard for me to have a relationship with my children. That's why I told you on the outset, become a man of God. Become a man of prayer. Become a man of faith. What you can't do, God is able to soften her heart. God is able to open up her heart where she'll allow you to have a relationship with your children. God will soften her up and condition her in a way where she won't bring hell to your new relationship or your new marriage. God has the ability to do that, but you got to do your part. You got to do your part. God, for that caller, Pastor Rebecca, she is so on point. When you
She's still on the air. You can talk to her directly if you like.
Okay, she's there, but thank you for those remarks, because when you begin to deal with men on a certain level, and with men, we got to hear it the way I'm kind of putting it out there today, because we got to make it so plain. We can't make it too spiritual and too spooky, because we can't relate to that. You know, thank God for the drums and the organ and the shout and the dance that's in our churches, but I sat up under a teaching ministry. I sat in my earlier years, and that's the kind of church new creation is. We praise, we worship, but we also get into that word. Because the word's the only thing that's going to minister to men. That's the only thing we're going to be able to receive and process and begin to logically and practically apply to our lives. So I thank you for those remarks, And when we begin to turn men around, God begins to turn everything else around. So thank you for
Amen.
That.
Amen. Amen. And as the word says, we're supposed to teach our children. Well, when you're dealing with a broken man, you're dealing with a broken child.
Wow.
And when you can erase the pain of the past, when you can take that trauma that that child has had to suffer, hide, self-endure, live with for years and years and years, when you can break through that and allow that trauma off of that child, then you can start developing a young man, then a grown man, then a healthy man. Hallelujah. But
hallelujah.
We've got to get to the
hallelujah.
Root. Because once you sever the root, the branches of the tree will die. And as the branches of the tree die, so dies their abandonment issues. Their being molested issues, their abuse issues, their not being wanted issues. That pain of the past must be dealt with so the beautiful man can evolve with a new tree of life through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yes,
I do. I praise God for you, Pastor Anthony, and I just pray that you continue to be led, guided, and directed by the Holy Spirit in which you train these young men, and I'm calling them young because we're dealing with that broken child. That's why they act out in the way in which they act out, because they're a child. They may be 40 in age, but they're still a child inside that's been hurt and scarred and marred and abused. So let us continue to pray for our men. Let's get to the root, cut that root out, sever that root from that person, put it on the cross of Jesus, hallelujah, and let them know that we got to start all over again. But starting all over again is the greatest thing that could ever happen to one's life. Amen.
My, that's the truth.
Hallelujah.
And that is the truth. I thank God that he is the God of second chances and third and fourth, and that we can start all over again, and that God never gives up on us. He continually keeps his hand on us, molding us and shaping us until we get it right. You know, and getting it right is just submitting to his will. Until we submit and say, yes, Lord, have your way. Have your way. Heal me from this brokenness. And I just thank God for you, Minister Sugar, for you calling in on today, for you to hang in with us, because I saw your hand raised since almost the beginning of Pastor Anthony's beginning to speak. And you held on and you stayed with us, and the fire was burning in your belly. I just feel that fire, even over here in New Jersey. Burning in your belly, and I just thank God for your passion and your zeal and your compassion for the men, because, like you said, women, we have our conferences, we have our radio shows, and we're doing what we need to do to get healed, but it takes a lot for a man to begin not only to get healed, but even to admit to the fact that he needs healing. So, you know, thank God for my husband and him wanting, agreeing to come and be on the Woman to Woman show today, that we made it a man to man show because we wanted to speak directly to the hearts of men. And, again, thank you for calling in. I see that you are a radio host, with Power Praise and Worship Radio, with past leading lady Diana Flagg, that you are one of the new hosts over there, and that your topic is healthy eating. And I thank God for that, because there is a need for that. I believe it's Cooking with Sugar, Cooking with Sugarlicious is the name of your show. And we can tune in. I'm sure we'll get some information on how to tune in. But Minister Valerie Aleph just gave me that information in the chat room. So I thank God for Minister Valerie Allen and for her even giving us more insight as to who you are and what you're doing. Because we want to be whole. We have to be whole, mind, body, and soul. And I just thank God that you listened today, and I invite you to come back anytime and listen and even talk about, on another show, talk about some of the cooking that we need. I need to have you as a guest. So we'll talk about that on Facebook, and we'll talk about getting you on here so we can talk about some healthy eating.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Well, praise God. Just before you go, where can we hear your show, and what time and day?
It's Cooking with Sugarlicious. It's at 4 p.m. Texas time. I know you're New Jersey or wherever y'all are out there, but it's 4 p.m. Texas time. I will be starting up a new show the 1st of March, praise God. And this is a God thing. My first show topic is going to be foods that increase the libido in men.
Wow.
It's how we're going to turn off what we've been eating, because we as wives, and it's for the wives with their husbands, and I'm going to definitely clarify, I'm speaking to the married men, and how we need to change our diets so we can continue to be the healthy man that God is coming back for. He's coming back for a whole man, such as the man he created in the beginning. And so we have to turn around what it is that we've done to our body, our mind, our soul, and our spirit. And the foods are coming directly out of the Bible, and it's how we can turn around. And if we as men can turn around our eating habits, we can turn our sons' eating habits around as well. So we're producing productive men when they get to be that age, so they can be healthy and strong, not only for themselves, not only for their wives, not only for their children, but for their children's children, but mainly so they will be the church and the temple that God is coming back for, without a spot, without
Amen.
A wrinkle,
Amen.
And without a
Amen.
Blemish. Amen?
Yes, and the Bible tells us that we should prosper and be in good health, even as our souls prosper. So that is definitely lining up with the Word of God. And where can we, what's the website for the radio show? Do you have it?
It's Power Praise Radio.
Okay, so Minister Valerie Allen, I'm going to ask you to put that in the chat room so that we can have it, and we'll be able to tune into Power Praise Radio on the internet. And we're looking forward to your show. Are you on Facebook?
Yes, ma'am, I am. I'm Sugar Trask.
Sugar?
T-R-A-S-K. S-U-G-R,
okay.
Sugar Trask.
Okay, great. Well, I'll look you up and connecting with you, and looking forward to having you on a future show. God bless you, Minister Sugar, and thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Hey, wonderful. Amen. Well, I thank God for Minister Sugar calling in and encouraging the speaker, and even adding to the broadcast on today. And she can be found on Power Praise Internet Radio right here, not on Blog Talk Radio, but on Power Praise Radio. So God bless you. And the phone lines are still open, so you can call in. Again, let me give you the phone number, 646-652-4832. Listen, the switchboard is lit up. Let Pastor Anthony know that you were blessed by what he said on today. And if you want to talk to him, listen, it's not often that he's with us for the whole 2 hours. Normally he comes on and he does the marriage moments, and that's only about 10, 15 minutes. But he has spoken over an hour today. If you missed it, or if you have a man and need to hear this, make sure you go back to the archives at blogtalkradio.com/power. blogtalkradio.com/power, and you can listen to this whole show. You can listen again to what Pastor Anthony had to say. Listen, this man has spoken with great wisdom. I love talking to my husband. You know, part of our courting process was that we would sit in his car and talk for hours. I mean, I tell you, I knew that I was going to be a happy happily married woman, because this man is able to communicate. And that's one thing that we find that men don't talk. And a lot of the reasons that men don't talk is because we don't let them talk. So we need to learn how to let our men speak and don't be like I was earlier and get stuck on who he could have went to, or even when he started doing those measurements. Pastor Anthony, what were they, 36, 24, 36? You're laughing, but I was like, he's getting in trouble. I said, now he's getting in trouble because I'm not 36, 24, 36. So talk to me about it, baby. Talk to me about those measurements.
No, that was a song back way back. I don't know the song, but I know a lot of fellas used to joke around with that song, the guys I grew up with. And it just came back to my memory.
Amen. Well, talk to the men a little bit about the fact that, you know, some men got married and their wives were a different size. And now she's had a couple of kids, or maybe not even had kids, but age has changed her body measurements or her shape. What do you have to say to the brother who's looking at his wife maybe not even happy about the fact that she's not still that 36, 24, 36 that he married?
Yeah, that's powerful because one, you know, you hear that saying, beauty is only skin deep. But we live in a culture where I believe men, period, are visual. In other words, we see. That's what entices us. That's what attracts us. That's what lures us by what we see. Initially, if we talk about men in the natural, we're not getting spiritual right now. In the natural, men go by what they see. So sometimes throughout my day, right now, because I'm a man, I don't curse, but a lot of men respond when the weather break or the weather gets nice or they see an attractive woman. You'll be amazed that will come out of brother's mouth. Because they're going by what they see. Now, when you marry that woman or you marry that husband and things are not as far as physically what they used to be, by now you should fall in love with so many other things about her or about him. Because, Pastor Becker, I remember we went to Sandals, Jamaica on our honeymoon. We were lifting weights. We were doing sit-ups. We were stepping. We were eating right, and we wanted to look good on our honeymoon. I don't think 15 years later we look like we looked back in those wedding pictures. But we have really made an attempt to try to stay attractive for one another. Because as I pointed out, we do live in a culture where people are moved by what they see. So try to take care of yourself, but if she has had children, if she has put on a few pounds, if she doesn't look as thin as she used to look, you still should be attracted, not just to her physically, but spiritually, emotionally, mentally. There should be so many other things that draw you and make you faithful and attracted to that woman that God has given you. Even when the hair grows gray, even when sometimes sickness or circumstance hit our home, I've learned of some powerful stories over the years. How people have become, even to the place sometimes of impotency, where that husband or that wife have stayed because it was more than just a sexual thing. It was more than just we can walk down the street and people say that's a nice-looking couple. It became more than our outward look or we got prestige or money or we got power or influence. It became to one another beyond the physical, but it became spiritual. That's why when the Bible says the two shall become one flesh, that's not going to happen in the natural. That's going to happen in the spiritual. Because God says, take two people who are totally different, male and female, put them together, and let me work on them becoming one. So when you become one, you don't have to worry about, I'm not attracted to my wife anymore. Now I'm going to look and see if the grass is greener. Because the grass may look greener, but the grass is never greener. Because you get over there, She got issues. She got flaws. She got things that are not attractive also. So when you get over there thinking that the grass is greener, trust me, it's not greener. When you get to the place where, well, she, as you just talked about, Pastor Rebecca, allow that man to talk. I've heard brothers, especially as a pastor and a minister, even just being a good friend to some gentlemen and some men, they say, well, it's just easier to talk to the mistress. It's easier to talk to the girls at work. It's just so easier to talk to her. Brother, you better start talking to your wife. You better somehow create a situation where your wife is the one that you're running stuff by and running stuff off of. Now, don't open yourself up to the devil. Don't open yourself up to other people that, quote, unquote, you think understand you just because they're listening here or sounding bored. Make your wife your best friend. Make your wife your business partner. Make your wife your lover. Make your wife the significant other. Make your wife all the things that you need. Make her every woman, as Whitney Houston said. I'm every woman. She's all in me. Make that woman your every woman. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, there's more to love than just the external. And but women, that's not an excuse for you to let yourself go. That's not an excuse for us to let ourselves go. I mean, I'm in here doing Zumba every morning, every day, just trying to, you know, get my groove back, because I looked in the mirror and realized that I had put on, you know, quite a few extra pounds, and I didn't like it. So, you know, I'm doing something about it, not for him, but primarily so God could get the glory, then so that I could be satisfied with myself, and then I do want to be attractive for my husband. Amen. But this is not about the women. I just want to throw that in. We still have time. We have callers on the line. We have the chat room. You still have time to speak to Pastor Anthony, 646-652-4832. Press 1 if you want to be on the air right now. No one has their hands raised, but I'm declaring that some folk are getting ready to raise their hands so that you can talk to Pastor Anthony. I see that God's Anointed Ministries is back. God bless you. God bless you to our guest, 3254, Minister Valerie Allen, Know Your Enemy, also in the chat room. Come on, call in this last 20 minutes. People often wait until the last minute to call, and then it's time to go. But I want you to call in and ask some questions if you have some questions, or make a comment if you have a comment, like Minister Sugar did, to let us know if this show is blessing you. Would you want to hear more? What are some of the questions that you might even have concerning a man of God or being a man of God? Questions that you might have. Do you agree with what Pastor Anthony has said? Do you disagree? Let's dialogue. Let's talk about it. Call in and let your voice be heard. And I know that Kathy and Ray are listening. God bless you. I know that you guys can't call in because you are preparing for church. So I pray that you're being blessed and that you've been blessed by what Pastor Anthony has said on today. I know I'm being blessed. I know I'm being blessed. So while we're waiting for them to call in and raise their hands, honey, is there anything else that you have on your heart to speak to the men?
You know, this year I preached twice on a topic of fighting for your faith. As a man of God, we fight with faith, but we got to fight for our faith. Because when you fight for your faith, you're literally fighting for your family, you're fighting for your future. You're fighting for your friends and your finances. You're fighting for so much more when you fight for your faith, because your faith in God is going to be how you win in every area of life. I'll never forget. I didn't have many fights in my lifetime, but I remember this one. It was actually in college. Unbelievable. And I think I was about 180 pounds, and that was wet or with weights in my pocket. Not a big guy at all. But growing up in Newark, we used to go to the body and spa a lot, so I was pretty good with my hands as far as boxing. And it was a guy on our campus, just a real troublemaker. And I never forget, you know, he was in our dormitory for some reason, and something happened where he got angry, and, And this guy used to lift weights all day, every day. He was about, I would say, at least 230, 220, former wrestler, just muscles everywhere. And somehow me and him got into an altercation, and we were going at it. And I tell you, I was tagging his brother all up in his mug, and I was getting the best of him. I was trying to stay away from him. And then he saw that I was getting the best of him. And Pastor Rebecca, you know what he did?
What did he do?
This brother, he yelled out this real loud roar, almost like a WWF wrestler. And he ran toward me, and he grabbed me, and then he headbutted me. Boom!
Wow.
And I was dazed. It came out of nowhere because I didn't expect that. Because we were going toe-to-toe. We were boxing. And, again, I was getting the best of him. And then he headbutted me. Boom! And I was a little dazed. And then he reared back again and headbutted me again. Boom! With his big old head. And it was over for me. I was done. And all of a sudden, I remember some other guys he used to lift weights and work out with. They were pulling him off of me and stuff like that. And my fraternity brothers wanted to avenge my honor and go jump the guy. And I said, no, it's over. You know, ain't the first fight I ever lost. And I didn't have many. But I just kind of took that beat down. You know, I pray that we get back to that and let these brothers not keep shooting each other and go ahead and put on the gloves. Go ahead and spar. Go ahead and knock each other's teeth out. But we need to lay down these guns and these weapons because there's no coming back from that. But the point I want to make is that when I had that fight, even though I lost the fight, I fought the fight. Sometimes the devil gets the best of us as men. And the devil, just like that guy headbutted me, and I could not recover from that, sometimes we think we can't recover. And we begin to stop fighting for our faith. But I'm going to tell you today, if you walked away from church, if you walked away from God, if you don't pray or read your Bible as much as you used to, if you don't feel God the way you used to feel God, I'm going to ask you, who moved? Because God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Wow.
And brothers, I just want to tell you, keep fighting for your faith. You know, I never had a run-in with that guy again because he, believe it or not, he earned the respect from me. He got kicked out of school. He was always a brawler and a fighter, and I knew he had a reputation, but I grew up in Newark. I was told I was never the aggressor, but I was taught never to back down from anyone. So you're not a punk when you walk away, or you're not a punk when sometimes the devil gets the best of you. But I'm going to tell you today, keep fighting for your faith and keep fighting for your family.
Wow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful personal story and analogy, Pastor Anthony. You got to fight. You got to fight for your faith. You got to fight for your family. And I agree with Minister Sugar. She said, we're waiting for that book. Minister Sugar, I see you still listening. I have been on this man's case about writing that book. And I've written five. I'm waiting for him to write that first book because he has so much wisdom. And, honey, I know you remember a few years ago you had started writing your book for the men, and you got to sit down again and write that book. You got to write that book.
I need a transcriber. Maybe I live with one.
Well, put it on tape, and we'll work it out. Just speak it out, and we'll write it out. I'll write it as you speak it. I'll type it as you speak it. I will definitely do that for you, honey. Well, we have another caller. Area code 973, you're on the air. Welcome to the Women to Wellness Show.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and my soul is rejoicing in me and glad therein. God bless you, Pastor Anthony Simmons, and beautiful Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I tell you, God bless you. My heart is so filled with joy. There's so many pointers that Pastor Simmons have made on today, Pastor Anthony. I'm so sorry that the men are not speaking up once again. My God, I just would love to hear from the men on today. My God, you know, to give the comments. But one day, Lord, one day. But there were two, so many things that Pastor Anthony has been speaking on today has been touching my heart. One, I don't find it strange what he just speak about the young men when he was just fighting in his life. just as this week, you know, we had just, I just assisted another homegoing service for a 16-year-old. I don't know if you guys read this in the news in our area, but my God, the young man was shot down, 16 years old, shot down, robbed and shot to death. Come to find out at the viewing, it was one of my closest friends, one of my dearest friends that I had known for years, and I didn't know until we crossed paths at the viewing, and then, of course, with the homegoing service. But just the anger, just the rage, just the spirit of retaliation was just so out of control. Only by the grace of God was the service itself was able to, you know, go off without a hitch come by yesterday. But I tell you, all the things that Pastor Anthony is stating with regard to men, you know, how men need to love their sons and how to teach them up and train them up in the way that they should go in the fear and admiration of the Lord is so much needed, you know. And the other point that he was making with regard to you, how he was a blessing to his daughter, that just touched my heart as a woman and also a daughter. You know, my father had expired last year, and I just wish that my father knew the Lord. I really do. It wasn't until his latter years, until death, until I believe he had come to the Lord. And only still, we still don't know for sure, but we just trust God one day we might see him again. But only if my father was there and was able to take time. I can only imagine where I would be today, but it blessed me so much to and so encouraged to hear Pastor Anthony, how he not only just blessed you, his wife, and has helped me, Pastor Rebecca, but his daughter, how he, you know, extended a valentine unto her. I can only imagine how she felt, you know, just me hearing it. My heart was touched. Tears was just, you know, coming to my eyes. It was like such, you know, so touching. So, Pastor Anthony, no surprise how God is using you today. I'm just so elated to be able to have the opportunity to be here. Again, we just, you know, had assisted another homegoing service even on today and was able to come back and just, you know, go online here and just, you know, just join you right on in. Praise God. Such a on-time word. You know, God knows what he's doing in such a time as this. So be encouraged. But truly, I would love for the men to stand up and take their rightful place. I so agree again with so many things Pastor Anthony was saying about, you know, letting the man lead. I truly am a woman of God that loves to see a man lead. I believe that a man has his place, and I believe that a woman has her place. And I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and I believe that man was created first. And I truly believe that the woman was created to meet the needs of the man. And so with that being said, I believe that men need to raise and take their places and rightful place as well as women too. But truly, truly, a blessed broadcast on today. A ministry, you know, has been led by the Spirit of God. Just awesome, Pastor Rebecca. Kudos, Pastor Anthony Simmons. God bless you so much. Enjoy being here on today. Just wanted to call in as Pastor Rebecca declared someone to call in and just let you know how blessed that we are being blessed. And I truly am. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. And thank you for those beautiful roses on Facebook today. God
Amen.
Bless you. Believe it or not, as soon as you called in, we have two more callers. And
well,
let
the Lord have his way.
So we want to let the Lord. But Pastor, Minister Valerie Allen, I don't know if you had anything to say to her in response to what she just said.
I thank her for her remarks, and I totally agree. Men do want to lead.
Amen.
Men want to be, they want to be fathers. They want to be successfully married. Men want to be able to hold down a job and provide for their family. Trust me, most brothers I know, they don't want to go to jail. They don't want to put their hands on their women. They want their little daughters to look up to them. They want their sons to respect them. Men want this. That's why, ladies, we got to pray for men. I had a praying mother.
Amen.
And I told her, I believe when I got into that trouble, I believe because my mother was praying, that trouble was not life-threatening for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was some places sometimes where I know I shouldn't have been, way over in New York, not knowing how to get back, hanging with the wrong crowd. So I know I had a praying mother. And I'm telling you, pray for your sons, pray for your husbands, because supernaturally God can change men.
I believe that, Pastor Anthony. Pastor Becker, just one more thing. I thank God when you were saying how you were sharing about Pastor Anthony was sharing about is your daughter turning 14 and praising God. Well, what comes to mind too, I praise God for my firstborn son, my eldest son, who turned 22 on this week as well. And why so? When you look back over the 22 years as to where he could be and didn't have a present father in his life. Not that he don't have a father, but I believe you understand what I'm saying. His father did not have a consistent relationship with him. So he grew up with just as me as a one-parent family, and thank God for being a praying mother. Well, he is serving in the military even today. He's in the U.S. Navy doing his tour of duty in Japan. And so when his birthday came around on the 21st, I couldn't help but to praise God, because he could be in many other places. He could be doing many other things. But him just being there still assures me that he's still somewhere wrapped in the hands of God, and he's doing something productive with his life. He's not womanizing. He's not strung out on drugs. He's not whoremonging. You know, he's doing the things that God is calling him yet still to do. And for that, I'm grateful, and I so agree. Yes, women of God, we as mothers pray, because even yet still, he's of age. It is an adult now. All I can do is yet still pray for him. And so blessed be the name of the Lord God. Amen. God bless you both again. It's been a pleasure being here.
Amen.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca.
To God be the glory, and kudos to you for raising a man of God, serving our country. My God.
Bless the
Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much for calling in, Minister Valerie
Allen.
God
bless
you.
God bless you.
And
talk with you again.
Here I am to worship right here on Blog Talk Radio on Friday nights. What time is your show on, Minister Valerie Allen?
First to third Friday, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. 6:30 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here we are to worship. Thank you so much for the plug, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Yes, it is. Here we are to worship, Blog Talk Radio, where we are called to worship God in spirit and in truth. 6:30, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, first to third Friday of every month. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. There you have it from our very own Minister Valerie Allen. Tune in to her show. We have another caller, area code 972. Your hand is up. God bless you. Welcome to the Woman to Woman and the Man to Man show on today. God bless you.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
This is Prophetess Glenda from God's Anointed Ministries. God bless you, both man and woman of God. I just had a quick question for Pastor Anthony. As women of God, how do we support? I know that we are praying for the man of God, but how do we support your vision and your dreams and the things that God are showing you to help you birth those things forth in this season? And if you would, you know, answer that for me. I would, you know, get out the line so the next caller can ask a question as well and just listen to your remarks. But God bless you both. Thoroughly enjoy the show, and we need more of this.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless you. Pastor Anthony.
Amen. I'm not sure if I heard her question correctly, but I'm going to take a jab at it because I think I understood what she was saying. I never forget our bishop used to tell us, a woman loves a man with a plan. In other words, if he has a lot of potential, we can work with that. When I met my wife, I had a lot of potential. I was in debt. I was in eviction court. I had a lot of problems, but I had a lot of potential. And I see how God stabilized some things in my life through my wife believing in me. First and foremost, you got to believe in that man. We all have a vision. We all have dreams. But when you believe in him, it goes a long way. Because sometimes we understand the opposition that's going to come along with that vision or that dream. And with your hands being in his back, that's sometimes all the motivation and inspiration he needs. The one that really matters believing in him is the one that can get him over those hard moments. Because failure is just a temporary thing. And when you begin to push him and push his vision, push the purpose of God that God has ordained for his life, now, with two, as the touching and the agreeing, who can come against that? So get behind. I mean, if it's not going to cause you to sin, if it's not going to, you know, jeopardize you and your family or your well-being, get behind that man, his vision. Sometimes you got to work it along with working a regular job. Sometimes, you know, if it's going back to school, getting a degree, or stepping out on faith, starting a business, Sometimes it takes a little longer and it gets frustrating. But stay with him, hang in there, and you guys just believe together and watch what God can do.
Wow. Amen. That was a great question from God's Anointed and also a great response, Pastor Abney. We have time for one more call. We're going to take this last call, area code 240. You're on the air. Welcome to the Women to Women, Man to Man show today.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord. Man, hallelujah.
Well, I was just wondering, I was trying to buy my Proverbs 31:10-31, but sometimes it seems like when you try to find that type of woman, it doesn't always seem like it still exists out here. And even when you try to go by God's word and treat a person accordingly, or even if you try to do like chivalry, how you was pulled back in the day, this doesn't seem like anything seems to work out. So should we just wait on the Lord instead of trying to look for somebody? Or do you think it still exists out here to find a virtuous woman?
Pastor Anthony, that's your question.
Amen. Oh, it definitely exists, and it almost goes along with the response I just gave. Again, my wife, when we got together, we were a blended family, second marriage for both of us. There's so many things that the world tried to tell us that the Word did not tell us. In other words, God was always calling us to his purpose, but the world was saying, because you made mistakes, you can't have the second chance of grace that God is offering. And that virtuous woman in Proverbs, that man looks good because of that virtuous woman. But guess what? She had to get there. She rose up early, and our children had to rise up and call her blessed. That takes time, my brother. So the woman that you say yes to at the altar on the wedding day, that's the wedding. And then the marriage begins. That's why it's so powerful that you build your house when you do get married on the word of God. Because the storms will come, but the Bible says that house will not sink if you build it on the word of God. I knew I had to put my family in church. I knew for us to succeed, we had to sit in church together under sound doctrine. Because we both had issues. We both had a lot of things that was loose as far as previous relationships and things of that nature. But we got to this place because God had his hand on us and his favor was on us.
So, amen, yes, that baby.
That woman
baby,
is out there.
Go ahead. That's what I wanted to get to. Not to cut you off, but I wanted to get to this in the last 2 minutes. He's looking for his Proverbs 31 woman. He said, you know, it seems like he found her, but then it always comes out to be something contrary. Should he keep looking or should he give up? How does he run? How does he find this woman, this virtuous woman? Where is she?
Oh, that's what I'm telling you. She is there. But sometimes we got to put the ball in the other court. Are we missing it? Have we missed her? In other words, sometimes we have a criteria that we operate out of. We can put her up against Proverbs 31, but are we really seeing what God sees in her? That's the point I was just trying to make, is that when you put somebody to the standard of the Bible, that's hard to live up to that standard. But the potential in that person can get there. That's what I'm trying to say, is that, no, you don't marry somebody that kind of gives you on the front end that she's spiritual, that she's a real Christian, that she's all about the things of God, and then her lifestyle is contrary to that. I'm not talking about that. But if you find someone with sincere mistakes, they have flaws, but God can change them, somebody with a real good heart, but they really want to please God, then that's what I was talking about. Yes, that is that Proverbs 31 woman. She just has not been made into that yet. She just not have not come into fruition. So sometimes we're missing it or you've missed it, but I'm going to tell you, keep looking. If she has gotten away, yes, brother, keep looking. Because I wanted to say that earlier. Single men, if you're burning, if you have a desire to be married, God will allow the right one to enter your life.
But it just seems like sometimes you run into a lot of females that might even be damaged good, or, you know, sometimes people present their representatives in the beginning, So it's like you got to go through the cloak and daggers, or you got to go through the dating process, or it almost felt like you got to run background checks on people before you can even like really get to talk to them. And then you don't want to like go long term, and then you find out they was only put on a show in the beginning, and then later on, it's like you got to start all over again. So it's like, how do you get past perceptions, and you know, people seem to line up the same way as you, because they might go to church and say all the right thing, and then next minute you find out it was all just a game, or it was just something temporary.
Yeah, I agree with you, and that's why God created the engagement period, to engage with one another, to learn one another. As my wife just said, we sat in the car for hours before I proposed. Where's your head? I'm not looking for a boyfriend. I'm not looking for a girlfriend. What kind of career, what kind of ambitions and goals and dreams do you have? So these are the things you want to work out. You know, do you want children? Will I be a stay-at-home mom? And those things you do work out. You know, if you're called to ministry, can you handle me being a pastor, a minister of the gospel? All those things you do work out on the front end. And I'm going to just say, keep looking, because relationships are hard. Even when you find the right one, the relationship is not going to be easy. But you're right. You don't want to marry the wrong one and then get an annulment. So I'm going to just say, be patient with God, and God will send you the right one, because he will give you the desires of your heart if you keep praying to him. Although, like you said, you've been coming up empty thus far.
Right.
Amen. So, amen. God bless you, brother. And I'm so happy to hear from you on today that you are looking for that wife. That's something we deal with on this broadcast with the women, you know, that we need to get ourselves together and get our issues straightened out so that we can be that wife, so that we can be that Proverbs 31 woman. I don't know if you heard earlier, but I had a lot of issues when I met my husband, but he saw what was on the inside of me. He saw my heart. And I want to just add to what my husband was saying and say, just see the heart of the woman. Sometimes we're looking for that 36, men are looking for that 36, 24, 36, a perfect figure, long hair, light skin, dark skin. Maybe she wanted to work in a certain occupation. But sometimes if we just go to God and say, God, send me the woman. If you could just go to the Lord, and you sound like a praying man to me, and say, God, send me the woman that you have for me. And I'm going to trust you, God, that you're going to send me the one that you have for me. I'm going to put my desire aside and go with your will for me. And when you do that, God's going to open your eyes and show you that woman. Like my husband has already said, she might even be somebody that you already know. Sometimes we overlook those that we already know because it doesn't quite match up to our criteria, because women, we have our list, and I know that men have their list also. So sometimes if we just go to God with a pure heart, broken spirit, a contrite spirit, say, Lord, give me the woman. I want the wife that you have for me. I believe that God's going to open it up. And James says, ask and believe that you receive, and just stand on that word. I receive my wife, that God's going to show me my wife, and God's going to show you your wife, brother. He's going to show you the woman that he has for you. And you, and anyone who's not, he's not even going to let you waste your time. I no more wasted seasons for you, brother. No more wasted time for you. God's going to give you such a great spirit of discernment that you're going to see who the time wasters are, and you're only going to spend time with that one woman that God has set aside for you. I declare that over your life today as the prophet of God in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen. God bless you, and thank you so much for calling in today. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's the end of today's broadcast. Pastor Anthony, I thank you so much for being with me on today, for sharing with the men on today. And you got to come back. You have to come back and share with us again, because there's so much that we did not cover. And I just thank you for being with me for my marriage moments. I thank you for being my husband, and for being a man of integrity and a man of character. I thank you for waiting it out while God healed me of my pain that I had from the past. I thank you for being a great husband and a great father, a great friend, a great lover. I just thank you for all that you are to me and all that you do for me, being my provider, my protector, my priest. I just thank you for being the man that you are. I totally, truly thank God for you each and every day. You put up with the late hours while I write books and do radio shows. And, you know, you just, you help me cook. You help me clean. You are just, you're just what God, you're just what I needed. You're just what I needed. You put your foot down. You didn't put up with my idiosyncrasies. You know, you told me to get myself together in no uncertain terms, and I just thank God for you. You told me that God was first in your life. Even when we met in the bar that night, you told me that you would put no woman before your God, and you would put no woman before your sons. So I just thank you that you didn't put a woman before your sons, and you didn't put a woman before your God, but when I became your wife, you put me first, even before our kids. So I just thank God for you, honey. You are a true blessing to me and so many others. And I just thank God for you. And I thank you for being with us today.
Amen. Thank you for having me. It's just so awesome to hear that young man that called in. Ladies, be encouraged. This is Woman to Woman Show. I'm sure some women will listen to the archives. There are good men out here. There are brothers that are trying to do the right thing by God. So be encouraged, and if you have a desire to be married, have children, God is able.
Amen, amen. So can you close out, Pastor, just with a prayer for our brothers? And it's 3:07. It's the time check is 3:07. Can you just close out with a prayer even as we go off the air?
Father, I thank you for ministering to men today. Lord, you know the hour in which we live. Father God, it is a challenging hour to be a father, to be a husband, to be a son. But you said in your word, with you all things are possible. So I pray against the spirit of divorce. I pray against men who are angry. I pray against, Father God, men who are deceived and dealing with the spirit of lust or pornography or waywardness from the things of God. And, Lord, I thank you that men are victorious in this hour. I thank you for powerful men who are strong and not weak. I thank you for men who are providers and men who are husbands and men who cover their family, even their extended family, Lord, their niece and cousins and nephews. I thank you for men who have volunteered to be big brothers and mentors to brothers who are lost, who are of a younger age. So, Lord, I thank you for men who are now trying to be restored and find their right place in you as leaders of the families, leaders in their communities, leaders back in your church. So, Lord, we thank you in advance for men having victories in every area of life. Thank you for successful men who are climbing corporate ladders, who are doing great in exploits in life. And I thank you for men, Lord, even as you give us grace and mercy until the day of Jesus. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's it for today's show. Join us next week when Pat, I will have Apostle Vincent Luster. She'll be on where she will be talking about her book, and it's a book on relationships as we continue to talk to women. Amen. So that we need to listen. Our husbands are looking for us. You heard the caller. So we need to get it together so that we can be all that God has created us to be, not just for the men in our lives, but also so that God can get the glory in our lives. So we're going to go off the air, and I just ask you to join me next week at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the Women to Women Show. Let's give Pastor Anthony some applause for everything that he's done and said to us. Amen. And we go off the air with Kirk Franklin and now keep silent.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised? Tell me it's alright.
people.
You look so much better when you smile, so smile.
Now every day ain't gonna be perfect, but it still don't mean today don't have purpose. Come on.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds and it's dark in my heart and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day, but tell me where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up.
Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower down.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still. You're in right now. Take that from you. I see you.